What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing on what. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. Ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shots and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, I predict an earthquake.
Morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He's going to explain why the Summer Grizzlies should be broken up. We're just destroying other teams. Break up the Summer Bears. We'll talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is that time. Our man in Washington, D.C. And I'll tell you this. It's sort of a good time to have Fishman because, let's be honest, things are a little thin in the world of sports. The breaking news yesterday was Memphis Tiger basketball team got a walk-on.
Yes.
And so it's a little bit thin in the sports world. To have someone talk intelligently about the rest of the world, well, that seems great. That seems great. Here's the problem. He always sends me a list, by the way, what we're going to talk about. The problem is this. It may not feel like this to y'all, but I actually try to steer away from politics per se. Like, X is bad, Y is good, whatever else. I think you know how I feel. But whatever, I'm not trying to do that every day. There are other places where you can go for that. And here's the problem. If you're talking about the rest of the world, Jeffrey, other than sports, that is the topic in the rest of the world right now.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
So if Fishman's sending me a list, he always sends me a list of things that we might talk about. I don't think, you know, the Republican convention is on the list, or the vice presidential choice is on the list, or the assassination attempt is on the list. But it's a little bit, it's a strange time. I'll say this. Yesterday, I advocated to you all to live in the real world and not live on social media and engage in real people and your neighbors and your community and the things you care about. And that was good advice. And it's good advice again today. And so it continues to be my advice.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah, exactly right. It's a sad day here on the radio show because Jeffrey, and I don't know, I mean, we didn't even discuss whether he's going to say anything about it, but Jeffrey had to put Carly down today. It's one of the truly, it's just, I guess, I know, I don't know what percentage of you have a dog or a cat or a pet. It's certainly more than half. Jeffrey, don't you think of our listeners have some sort of a dog or a cat or a pet or a...
Yeah, I would think so. Also, I think with younger generations, pets have kind of replaced having kids. And so I think it might even be going up.
It may be going up. I mean, there are those not like Jason Smith doesn't have a pet.
Sure.
John Martin does. And Brad has historically had a pet.
Yeah, Brad's got like a
he's got a he's dog.
He's got a dog.
He's got a doodle. Oh yeah, the doodle's always in the the videos. Of course. What am I saying? I remember his wife used to have Newfoundlands.
Yeah,
his wife used to have Newfoundlands, and I didn't get the sense that Brad was fully on board with the Newfoundlands. That was a lot of dog, but he's fully on dog with his current doodle.
Yes,
exactly right. Does Gabe have a dog?
I believe Gabe. Yeah, I think Gabe has a dog.
Anyway, it's just one of the truly sad things in life is to walk into a damn vet's office with your dog and walk out without it and an empty leash. And then the saddest thing, and I'm trying to drive you over the edge here, but we've all been through it, is to walk home.
Yeah.
To open the door. And because they're just the best, man. The way that they come and greet you and are totally joyful to see you and forgiving of all your foibles. And a lot of, weirdly enough, a lot of people who I know have had to put down their dogs recently. Lexi, the official, the Taylor Swift correspondent for the Jeff Calkins Show, she was recently in Amsterdam, by the way, catching the Taylor Swift show.
It's funny. I had another friend that was...
This is insanity.
Yeah. Well, his wife's Dutch.
And so okay. She had a blue heeler that was her life dog,
Bluey,
and this dog, I think I can say, yeah, she said this on social media, so I can say this. This dog, at one point, went crazy pawing at her neck. Scratching and pawing at her neck. And like, what are you doing, dog?
Right.
What is happening here? Well, leave my neck alone. What is this perfectly normal, loving, wonderful dog? Well, it turns out she had thyroid cancer.
Yeah. She's saying something's wrong, Mom.
That's just unbelievable. And that
very smart dog.
Just an unbelievably wonderful dog. And then Margaret Renkel, who writes for the New York Times, she lives in Middle Tennessee, but basically she writes about outdoor stuff, about the great, she would co-sign my recommendation to go ahead and live outside and live in your real world and not live on social media. She recently posted, "I'm writing this so I don't have to explain in person if we know each other in real life, or in a message if we don't. We lost our Rascal this week." And she went on to say what happened to Rascal. "I really can't talk about this or respond to even the kindest messages. I'll trudge on because that's what we all have to do after even a terrible loss. But right now it feels like I'm carrying around a mortal wound, a Rascal-sized hole in my mangled heart." And so that was Margaret Renkel recently, who lost her dog Rascal. And then, of course, Carly today, Jeffrey, and so it almost seems like you read those words. It almost seems silly. Like, come on, this is a dog. It isn't the end of dog. I don't know, man. There's no explaining it. And you've talked about this before. Like, you got her at a time when you were incredibly lonely and making your way in the world, and you're in Oxford. I imagine you'll never have a dog quite like her. Right?
No, and there's other great dogs. Like, you know,
there will be other great dogs.
But no, it's because of she went through kind of the most formative years in which, you know, struggling, reeling in your career,
right.
probably reeling personally. Move to Memphis with the new opportunity, meet my wife, we get married, she met my daughter. It's just nothing's going to replace like
and
that.
And And it's the reeling personally is sort of, you know, is what stands out there too. And they don't care if you're reeling personally.
No.
You know, and then you have to get up in the morning, you got to take care of them. You got to throw sticks, you got to do whatever you got to do. Now, what's interesting though is the next dog, if you have a next dog, your daughter will know the next dog. Like
correct.
It'll be her, like that next dog, she knew Carly, but
no, that was Aaliyah's, my wife's biggest hold up was that Josephine wouldn't really remember her, but Aaliyah got like one of those books that like you can customize books
right.
and it was Josephine will have that.
So anyway, let's see. I want to turn to a happier topic, Jeffrey.
Let's do.
We can talk about what we'll talk about what happened last night in sports later, because let's be honest, it was sort of a disappointing day between no Zach Edey, right?
Yep.
I'd say that was disappointing. A U.S. hoop squeaked one out, like whatever, like that wasn't particularly resounding. As I said, the earlier Memphis basketball recruiting news involved a walk-on. Even the national anthem was
something
difficult at the home run derby. And so I yesterday, in the midst of all of this, I happened to see David Rudd, former president of the University of Memphis, retweeted a little highlight film of the day that game day came to town, right? And I just found myself watching it. Now, it wasn't a game day. It didn't honestly have any of the game day highlights. It was the highlight. It was the game itself.
Yeah.
Highlights of the game, the win over SMU. And I watched it and I retweeted it. And people who retweeted it, who watched it upon my retweeting it, or David Rudd retweeted whatever else, some people said I had to watch it two or three times. Like, it was just so much fun. It also helps that you know that they win in the end, right?
This is peak. Like, I don't know if people have noticed this, but I've noticed, like, in July and August, it's peak. Go back and watch your
and
team's biggest wins.
Moments.
Yeah.
And so it did occur to me. I started, like, that was a great, great day. And first I sort of thought of this question. Is it the greatest day in Memphis football history, and will it forever be the greatest day in Memphis football history? Will there ever be a greater day than that? But then I started questioning. I can't speak to what happened before 1996 when I got here. So the win over USC or the win over, you know, Auburn or the win over Emmitt Smith in Florida or the historic games against Ole Miss in the 1960s, I cannot intelligently weigh in on those, okay? But I was thinking, what are the best ever days in the history of Memphis football? And I actually, we might do a Jeff Calkins Show poll on this because it wasn't obvious to me. But you don't have to fire it up yet. Let's identify the candidates first. Okay, ready? Because the ones that I have, like, the one that I have identified, again, this is totally random. It's just since I arrived in 96, which is not a natural cutoff date. But I have to include Memphis beating Tennessee.
Yeah, totally.
And could you make the argument that that's one?
You could. The thing that I was thinking about when you were mentioning some of the other candidates, the difference is Memphis football kind of existed, kind of like they had conferences, sometimes they didn't have conferences, and so everything felt like a one-off. Doesn't mean that it was a good, bad, indifferent one-off. It was just a moment. The thing that I thought made the SMU entire, like the game and everything, is number one, it had significance in terms of getting you to a bowl game you've never been to, you know, getting to the conference championship game, hosting a conference championship game, winning everything. And then you have the fact that you were the feature game of the day. You had game day. You were on ABC.
It was TV. It was validation.
Correct.
For this program that had struggled forever. And it was from, listen, if you got down there, you know, you had to get down to Beale Street early. It was from 6 a.m. till midnight.
Right.
You know, it was
an all-day affair.
It was an all-day affair. It was nationally televised. They win big in a thrilling, like, you watch that game and you're like, holy crap, that was fun football to watch. It's a thrilling game. And
it was a classic I need a cigarette game.
And it was absolutely validating, spotlight shining on you. Now, if you're going to make the case for Memphis, Tennessee, it is, I'll say this, it was a different time when people took newspapers, the cover of newspapers, and framed them and put them on bathroom walls, right? In their game room or wherever else.
Yep.
There is no question.
Shout out Frame Corner.
Shout out Frame Corner. That is hung on more of those than any other Memphis football game.
Yes.
Like, that has been cut out, celebrated.
No question.
I'm going to remember this moment more than any other. So the ones that I would offer up, beating Tennessee. People may not understand this, but the first bowl game.
Yes. Totally agree.
At the New Orleans Bowl. And the problem is, I don't know what day you pick. You know, I don't really remember much about the game itself. They won. They beat North Texas.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It was being in New Orleans. So was it qualifying for that bowl game? Was it? It's unclear exactly what day you're talking about. When I think of that game or that day,
I think
about being there with the parade in New Orleans is what I think about.
The other candidate I would throw in there for that is, this was back in a day in which, remember, we actually had the Selection Sunday version of college bowl games. Like, we knew who was
Selection Sunday version?
You find out. Now, behind the scenes,
they were going. Because I was chronicling at that point, like, what they were going. So anyway, so I'm going to put the other ones that I could put. Now, we only have four slots for the poll, okay? So the other candidates that I would have, how about the Cotton Bowl itself?
Well, that was the other thing I was thinking of. But it's like, is the Cotton Bowl... There's something about the entire day of the SMU game. And to me, it's like...
And they lost the Cotton Bowl. And by the way, they got their ass kicked. I mean, it wasn't... It was marginally competitive. It was, like, you knew they were going to lose that game.
Right.
There was never any... The highlight of that particular game...
Was walking into the stadium.
In the stadium and being... It was a little bit like the New Orleans Bowl in that it was being there.
Correct.
It was, we are at the Cotton Bowl. Oh, my God, look at this stadium. Look at all the other Memphis fans here. That was sort of it, the Cotton Bowl. And so... And then they lost. But it was...
It was a celebration. It was more
it was
of like a...
celebration of Memphis.
It was like a thank you for this season.
Okay, let me offer up another one. Ole Miss, Memphis 37, Ole Miss 24. Paxton Lynch.
Okay, that one's a big one. I also think, like, I know at the time, record-wise, maybe everyone didn't know, but beating Eli Manning.
Yeah, now here's the sad thing. Well, so they beat Eli Manning twice, I think. Didn't they? Didn't they beat him twice?
No, they've beaten both Mannings.
They have beaten both Mannings. They only beat...
Next year they beat Spurlock
When D'Angelo beat Eli, sadly, there was a massive family reunion in New Hampshire, and I wasn't there. And so and here's the thing. I killed me that I wasn't there. And I told myself, no one really cares that I'm there or not there. And sure enough, no one cares but me that I wasn't there. At the time, did it feel as big?
Oh, yeah.
Did it feel bigger than any of the ones we've just mentioned? I don't think it's bigger than Ole Miss, Paxton. Like, that Ole Miss team turned out to be crap. Or, right? Not great. Was that team
No,
good?
That team went to the Sugar Bowl.
Was that a Sugar Bowl team?
Yeah, but... That day's a big one. So here would be the key difference.
It was sold out, and it was part of this ascendance, right?
Correct. Both those Ole Miss teams went 9-3, went to big bowl games, won them, went 10-3. So they're very similar teams. The difference was when Ole Miss came to Memphis in 2015, Ole Miss was what? Like top, were they 10?
They were 13 in the country.
Yeah, 13 in the country. And Ole Miss had stumbled out of the gate with Eli. Like they'd lost to Texas Tech already. Like they were like wobbling. And then you realized
later that they...
Correct. They're very similar in the sense of...
I think maybe in part, it's partly because in retrospect, we know that the 37-24 game led to things, whereas I don't know what that team did.
I think that was the New Orleans Bowl team.
That was the New Orleans Bowl
team? Yeah, I think 03, yeah. I believe so. Let me double check.
And here's the amazing thing about this entire conversation. We aren't discussing any conference championship games. Like, they beat Cincinnati to win the conference championship.
The problem with the conference championship win is you played them the week before. And so, like,
okay, how about the week before?
But still, like, it was just kind of, I don't know.
They're not as big. They're not as big as this. And then, I mean, hell, that game against BYU, the bowl game against BYU, that was great fun. Doesn't compare to these, honestly. I don't think I can put it up with these. But it was great fun. And then, like, they beat the snot out of Louisville 1 year with D'Angelo. Of course, what happens here is there are other games that...
Yeah, the 03, the new... that. The beating Ole Miss
was a team that was the team that went to the
correct snap the bowl streak, everything.
All right, let's. I with all due respect, I'm still gonna have to fire up.
All right, so how do you want to phrase the question?
Best day in Memphis football since '96. Best day for Memphis Tiger football since '96. '96 is so freaking random. What do we say? Last, how many? Would that be 94? 80, 94 would be 2004, 2014. Last 30 years? How about this? Last 30 years.
Okay.
Let's do it that way. That seems less like geared to my own specific. The day Jeff Calkins arrived in town is the day that history started, which is preposterous. So we're going to say best day in Memphis football in the last 30 years. And the options will be, one, beating UT, two, New Orleans Bowl, three, game day / SMU. And four. Should we say Cotton Bowl instead of New Orleans Bowl? Let's say Cotton Bowl instead of New Orleans Bowl. It's just a little embarrassing to include New Orleans Bowl when you have Cotton Bowl there.
But then are we being a little intellectually dishonest? Because you and I know that, like, yes, if you hear it in the context of 2024. And you hear Cotton Bowl versus New Orleans Bowl.
Let's ask the people. Let's see if anyone... Can anyone help us here? 445-0929. 445-0929. Honestly, I need help. And again, maybe y'all are off on summer vacation or doing whatever. But I need help even identifying the best four. Because, I mean, first of all, I may be missing some. But then second, like...
What about the UCF win? The Brady, like Silverfield's first win.
445-0929. That was great. I don't think UCF, that was an unbelievable day.
The Mississippi State game?
We need some help here, people. Which are the, not just in which is the best, but in some of these, like, we only can put four on the ballot. So a lot of you people lived every one of these games, and so we need some help. If we were doing a ballot to determine the best single day in Memphis football in the last 30 years, tell me, which is better? Which was more fun, really? New Orleans Bowl, Cotton Bowl? Are any of these, like, wins, any of these wins over UCF or Cincinnati or conference championships, do any of them rate with the others? Or are we? Do we have them basically narrowed down? All right, Jeffrey, who do we got?
Jeff, let's start with Joe. He's at Chick-fil-A.
Oh, Joe, good choice. Are you eating at Chick-fil-A or working at Chick-fil-A? If you're working, yeah.
Not eating yet, currently in the drive-thru.
What's your order?
You mean order of
What are you going to order there? What are you going to order?
Chicken, egg, and cheese biscuit, and a couple hash browns, one for me, one for my son.
Sounds great. All right, so tell me, what should I put in the four?
I feel like for me, being a Tiger fan my whole life and seeing how bad they were, sounds silly, but I had tears in my eyes when they beat Cincinnati in the conference championship. I'm there with my buddies, my golfing buddies. We've known each other most of our lives. For me, that's kind of number one, and that kind of continues into the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the thing was there weren't as many people there because it was, I think Thanksgiving weekend, early December, as there would be. SMU for me was kind of the pinnacle because comparing that to even the 2015 Ole Miss was as Memphis as there has been in a Memphis Ole Miss crowd, like 40,
yeah.
Maybe it was 40, 45 to 15 Tiger fans. But the SMU game with the game day continuation and having a full Liberty Bowl with all Tiger fans, that was the zenith for me.
Include Cincinnati in that. That's interesting. The winning the conference championship is one of the.
I think so, because that's when you knew the Cotton Bowl was coming. Because that game, if there's no Cotton Bowl, and it's a 9-3 Tigers trying to do what SMU did last year and end up in Fenway. Or something. Right. It's not as big a deal, but you knew what was at stake.
All right, enjoy the biscuit, man. I appreciate Thanks. It. That is Joe at Chick-fil-A. Jeffrey, who do we have next?
Jeff, let's go to Too Smooth. Too Smooth calling from all over.
Too Smooth. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're good.
Man, Jeff.
Yeah.
For me, it was the SMU College Game Day. Man, that was surreal, Jeff. I never thought I'd see the day. I'm like, College Game Day in Memphis. And the way that people supported it, you had people hanging off of balconies, it was people lined up for miles, and then just the anticipation of it. When we first found out we was having game day, I couldn't believe it. Man, I was so hyped up and jacked up for it, and it was everything I thought it would be and more. I mean, that was surreal right there. I don't think anything could stop it.
I think it's number one. I think it's clearly number one. But are there others that stand out? We only have four slots in our poll. Any others that, like, do you remember the Ole Miss game? Cincinnati? Do you remember winning the conference championship? Any of those? BYU? Nothing compares. Too Smooth has left us. 4450929. We need help here. And then we'll just have to make some hard choices, Jeffrey. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to George in Bartlett. George, you're on.
Hey, George.
Hi, Jeff. This is the Candyman. We've talked a few times before.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah. And I moved here in 1995, just like you.
Yep. We turned it around, you and I. We got this turned around, yeah.
Yes, we did. And became an immediate Tiger fan. And I was at the Tennessee game. I was at the New Orleans Bowl. I was at the SMU game. And I was at the Cotton Bowl. So I was at all the games.
Okay, and?
So, number one, of course, is the SMU game. The national excitement, the excitement here, just you can't overcome that. But emotionally, talking to all the local Tiger fans, the lifelong Tiger fans, and if you went to the New Orleans Bowl, it was just so emotional. Very close to number one, but SMU is it, and that is number two. You cannot take that off the list. Because a born and raised Tiger fan will tell you the New Orleans Bowl
should be on the list. It was something. I mean, people may not understand outside the market, but all right, thank you, appreciate it. Jeffrey, we'll take a couple more on this. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to Gene in Bartlett. Gene, you're on.
Hey, Gene. Thanks, Jeff. For me, honestly, I really love the D'Angelo Williams years. I love the AAC championship games on the field. I've got pictures I'll live with the rest of my life, but nothing for me is ever going to beat the day that we ruined Peyton Manning's Heisman year. Kevin Arnold, I think, won an SC for that game. you know, the entire student section for Memphis was filled with adults wearing orange, not students. And yet, I had to sit on the emergency exit stairs just to watch my team win a game that no one in this country thought they had any chance of winning. Well,
you didn't think they'd win for much of the game, did you? None of us did. I didn't think I was watching history.
No, that was a huge, huge upset.
Yeah.
Amazing upset.
All right.
So to me, that's always going to be my favorite memory.
It's your number one.
Being stuck in traffic for 2 hours watching people carry the goalposts down Central Avenue was just awesome.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll take one more on this, Jeffrey. Who do we got?
Jeff, let's go to AJ in Memphis. AJ,
hey, AJ.
You're on.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
So I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So in order, I would say the SMU game, then the Ole Miss game, and then the UT, and then the New Orleans.
Which Ole Miss game? Jeffrey makes the argument that beating Eli was as big as the Paxton Lynch game, 37-24. Which Ole Miss
game? The 2015 Ole Miss game.
Yeah, 2015.
They had to come back. They was down. They had to come back. And then at the end of the game, the fans stormed the field, got to celebrate with the team. Like, that was like, I was in the stadium for that game. That game was electric because a lot of fans started to give up, and then when the Tigers started to climb back in, it just erupted. And then at the end of the game, it was just an overjoyed experience.
So you're going at, wait, SMU is in there.
Yeah.
What are the other ones?
SMU, the 2015 Ole Miss game, the UT, and then the New Orleans Bowl.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. So interestingly enough, the Cotton Bowl isn't in there.
Yeah, because I just really think, like, it's not that it wasn't a great day.
No,
it's just,
it was the trip there that mattered.
Correct.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Will Memphis have other great days to rival these? Yes. The answer is yes. They will have great days. I don't know that they'll ever have one as great as
well, I mean, there's a real question of, like, is there, like, What is a big day in college football anymore? Like that's the thing. Because everything now.
How about this? Here, I'll give you one that could happen this year. Winning the conference championship to go to the playoff
for sure.
That would be if you get yourself in a position where all you've done is lose a reasonably close game to Florida State, and you are the best Group of Five team, and you win the conference championship, and you know, because the way the rest of the season has played out for the other Group of Fives, that if you win this game, you're going. Winning that game and going to the playoff will be a game that could rival some of these games.
100%. But I'm just saying, in general, now that we've turned college football into largely a postseason sport, it's diminished, like, particular big wins, like, just that day. There's still plenty of examples of them. Tennessee beating Alabama is still, like, you know, right. there's still examples.
Has it been diminished big wins? It's clearly diminished big wins for teams that will get into the playoff and win games in the playoff.
Right.
For teams that don't expect to win games in the playoff, University of Memphis, how has it changed? Memphis doesn't expect to win games in the playoff.
Well,
with all due respect, they just don't.
The thing that's going to be harder and harder, though, is to schedule games that are going to
be big game, give you a chance
right,
to be big game.
Have you feel it like that.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. There's Grizzly stuff and other stuff that happened last night to talk about. I just wanted to get this. This was a conversation that was eaten.
So are we putting this up?
Because
to me, it seems like we have four choices now.
Okay. What are the ones? How's it read?
Beating UT.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Bowl. Game day / SMU win, and then 2015 Ole Miss.
All right, fire that up. Fire it up. And the order will clearly be, it will be overwhelmingly game day SMU. Number two will be Tennessee. Number three will be that Ole Miss win. And number four will be the New Orleans Bowl. And I feel silly for a little bit for those out-of-market folks who are going to see
right.
this,
it reads,
the New Orleans Bowl will be on there. But you all just don't understand. It's a Memphis thing. You just don't understand what that meant. And it did mean something for a program that had essentially never been there. So here we go. It is now live. I'm going to vote. I've retweeted it, and I'm going to put in game day SMU win so it lurches to an early lead. You can vote over if you follow me, follow Jeffrey. You can go ahead and cast your own ballot. In the meantime, I will tell you that I was over it. I keep telling you about real people in Frame Corner. I told you about the guy from Jonesboro who came over with his Arrowhead collection because he wanted custom framing at Frame Corner. Well, Paul Cowers, who is a great friend over at Oak Hall, he has stuff of his dad's from Ole Miss, played at Ole Miss, and from Humes High, I think it was, that he has in his house. Just wonderful, like, just historic stuff. And he texted me when I was talking about Frame Corner yesterday and said he got it framed at Frame Corner. That's the thing. If you have memories that you want to frame and keep forever and honor and, like, get it beautifully custom framed, and you will have that. You'll have it to display in your own home, and you'll have it to hand down as well. That's what they do at Frame Corner. You can walk in and buy a frame, absolutely, but their custom framing is spectacular. It's the Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Tonight at 7 o'clock after the Gabe Kuhn Show, it's the Major League All-Star Game, the NL and the AL, live on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gabe is a trip, bro. My guy knows football.
Memphis' sports station.
I listen all day to 92.9 on the radio.
Radio was free, bro. I mean, we love just turning it on and getting the Tigers or Grizz stuff.
Jeffrey gets after it.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
Oh, I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Want to save on some of the biggest names in streaming on the network made for streaming? X marks the spot.
Now through July 25th, get 150 megabit Xfinity Internet for $30 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract with Wi-Fi equipment included. And for just $15 a month, add the new stream saver that includes Peacock, Apple TV Plus, and Netflix. All your favorites, all in one place, only from Xfinity. So go ahead and binge some shows, stream some movies, and save some money all at the same time. For more watching and less spending, X marks the spot. Switch to Xfinity, the network made for streaming, and bring on the good stuff. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Internet offer requires paperless billing and auto pay with store bank account, taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply, currently $56 a month. Plus Wi-Fi equipment, currently $15 a month. Actual speeds vary. Stream Saver requires Xfinity Internet or TV and price subject to change.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My three boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
The Black Crowes Happiness Bastards Tour rolls on. Celebrating their first new music in 15 years. And all the hits. October 15th, Bank Plus Amphitheater. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss The Black Crowes, produced by Live Nation.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? You've got an oil change coming up. You can go farther and save on full synthetic with our oil change special. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of STP full synthetic oil with an STP extended life oil filter for just $29.99. Get the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This summer, take a trip down memory lane with me and hear from the legends of baseball. I'm Brett Boone from the Brett Boone Podcast. Every week, I have a conversation with one of baseball's greats to talk about the glory days and reflect on today's game. Randy Johnson, Pete Rose, Deion Sanders, Jay Buhner, Albert Bell, and Goose Gossage, they've all shared their wisdom with stories of their playing days. To hear who's next, follow and listen to the Brett Boone Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Memphis Grizzlies select Zach Edey.
Wow.
From Toronto.
All right. Wow.
Purdue University.
I'm watching the draft video of Zach Edey when he gets the call, by the way. It's awesome. The cake literally says, "You've come a long way, baby." And he's getting the call, and he's telling his mom it's Memphis. And she's, like, loving it. And he's excited. And his mom looks genuinely happy. Like, I mean, she's like, "Yo, let's go to Memphis."
You're at the Jason and John Show. Weekdays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. 92.9 Memphis. Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Let's see a few things. I want to clarify. It was letter sweaters. Paul Cowers has letter sweaters, beautifully framed. You know what? If you have those letter sweaters, what would you do otherwise? You have them tucked away somewhere. Framed and displayed.
Taking up closet space somewhere.
Absolutely. Taking up closet space somewhere. Absolutely. Beautiful. I have heard from a bunch of people on this topic. And what it reminds me is that there were a lot of games that we haven't even, like someone said the UCLA game. And then I had to think with the UCLA game.
Josh Rosen.
It was, weirdly enough, there was a very significant UCLA game where the Memphis Tigers lost. And it was in the maybe Justin's third year when they started to turn the corner.
Yeah.
And that's when it's first. I had gone to a UT game that night. I don't know who beat they beat someone. They beat someone that night. And I was driving back and we're listening to the Memphis game on Sirius or something. I think it was Ron Higgins. And I don't know how we were listening to it, because I think this was the days before you could listen to anything on your phone. And or maybe we were just and they were giving UCLA everything they wanted. And the coach's show after that game was packed, because it was like, holy crap, we could be good. And but then there was the, weirdly enough, that UCLA game at where they beat him at the Liberty Bowl, the Josh Rosen game. That was a game where it was so incredibly hot. Incredibly hot. They ran out of water at the Liberty Bowl, and people were fainting in the stands. So those games were both brought up. Someone brought up to me the game that they lost. One of our listeners in Colorado brought up to me the game that they lost. And it's funny how I do remember this game as well as being significant. The game that they lost to Louisville on Thursday night.
I was going
to
bring it
OT.
Up, but it's because it was an L. I didn't.
It was a great night.
But I mean, it was
Danny
awesome
Wimpride and D'Angelo Williams. It was 56-49.
Football is God intended.
It was unbelievable. That game. I talked to D'Angelo's mom that night. I think she was recovering from breast cancer surgery or something. It was an incredibly emotional night. Memphis looked great. Like, yes, they lost. But there was that game.
So the UCLA game you were thinking about is UCLA was ranked 11th in the country at the time, and it was 2014. That was the year that they finished with, what was it? It's the Miami Beach Bowl year, so they finished, was it 8 wins in a row?
Yeah.
7 wins in a row. Yeah, they finished with 7 straight wins.
Yeah, and then Jarvis has weighed in. Jarvis, of course,
historian, program historian,
has a million. These are before my time. He said the Tigers beat Auburn twice in a row when I was playing. This is Jarvis. 76 at number 6 Auburn, 24-12. Next year, second game home and home. They really used to play those at the Liberty Bowl, 27-26. They couldn't get Neil O'Donohue within range for a 50-yarder. That's amazing. Back-to-back wins over Auburn. And we talk about how woeful Memphis football had been for years. The truth of the matter is, Memphis football was fighting heavyweights every single
game. The schedule
game.
Was a huge part of it.
And holding its own often.
Well,
you know?
The funny thing I was thinking about yesterday is, because you mentioned that David Rudd, Jeb Hill, another guy that knows everything about the program, I guess it's 47 days away. It was, I think, in 1987, there was an interception by D. Lyman that led to a win over Alabama.
Oh, yeah. No, they beat Alabama famously. He also mentions, Jarvis does the Miami Peach Bowl, which we mentioned earlier. It was incredible. Triple OT. And they have the brawl. So that was awesome. 56-yard field goal to send it to third overtime. That was crazy. He said there was a game at Ole Miss right after they expanded Liberty Bowl where the Tigers won it with a last-second fourth-and-goal stop inside the one-yard line. Largest ever crowd at the stadium. More than 66,000 jam-packed screaming or crying at the end. Football will do it, man. Football will do that. And every program has those, by the way.
For sure.
Like, if we did an Ole Miss show, we could do an Ole Miss show of the greatest. You could do a Tennessee show of the greatest, et cetera. Arkansas. And right down the line. Speaking of, we do have SEC Media Days proceeding today. There was a story yesterday that Nick Saban said he was rebuffed because he had to go back and get his credential. I don't believe he was, who are you? You can't come in, whatever. I do think even Nick Saban has to wear his credential. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it's also to get into certain access
places.
Points.
Yeah. So, it's just like, Nick, go get, you know, and did he go back and get his credential?
He said he went back to his hotel room.
Today we've got Georgia, Tennessee, Oklahoma, and Missouri will be there. Tennessee not sending Nico. Like, everyone's sending a quarterback, but not Tennessee. No Nico today. And you've got Kirby Smart sort of standing astride the thing. Kirby Smart. He doesn't feel like he has the stature of Saban. He doesn't, let's be honest, right? But he's very quickly, and with Harbaugh gone and Saban gone, he's him, isn't he?
He is, but like I've been thinking about this just in terms of sports in general. It feels like even our biggest figures aren't as mythical as the ones in the past. Like, are we going to look back? Is Saban going to be kind of the last, like, mythical?
Mahomes is mythical. Mahomes will be as mythical as any is shaping up to be as mythical.
Maybe it's the coaches don't feel as mythical.
Mythical. Who's the most? I mean, Andy Reid just doesn't seem mythical. Andy Reid seems like he enjoys a cheeseburger. You know, like he just doesn't. As great as he is,
completely agree with you.
It's some of the ways they carry themselves too.
Well, there's also kind of that intimidation factor. Like when we think of all these coaches, it's like, you know, Bear with the hat and the houndstooth hat. You know, we think about Saban with the scowl. And,
I mean, if Kirby Smart lasts 10 years winning championships, I think he will somehow feel as mythical someday. But we'll see. If he, you know, is he, how many more years? He's going to be there for a long time.
I mean, he's going to be there as long as he wants to be.
Right, well, that's clearly true. Anyway, and then you got Tennessee and Oklahoma and Missouri. And particularly for Tennessee and Oklahoma, I would ask you this. You were talking about earlier with the world, the same way of things have changed with the playoff and what's meaningful and what's no longer meaningful. Is for programs like Tennessee and like Oklahoma, now that the college football playoff has expanded, when it was four, it was a, hey, if everything coalesces perfectly, we can make the playoff, right? But if you don't make the playoff, unless you're Alabama or Georgia, whatever, it's not some failing, right?
For sure.
Missing the playoff was not a disgrace or a black mark once upon a time. But if you're a program like Tennessee that aspires to be a national contender, or that Oklahoma aspires to be and has historically been a national contender, is it a pass fail? Have we come down to, and mind you, there will be many more fails than passes, because I bet there's 20 programs or 30 programs or 40 programs that we could say, listen, it's a pass fail deal. You either make the playoff, it's successful, or you don't, and it's not successful. I think with Tennessee, it's pass-fail.
So I think there is one scenario where you could make the argument it's not the playoff that's pass-fail. If, let's say, if Tennessee loses a heartbreaker at Oklahoma and then they lose to Alabama and at Georgia, but Nico looks good and they go 9-3, and particularly like Nico closes the year very strongly, then you can still have a 9-3 where maybe you miss and you wind up feeling good about next year.
But it's not – the key there isn't just that they lost close fashion or lost teams they should. The key is that there is enough promise that you're excited about next year.
Correct.
It's not pass-fail if you're pretty convinced they're going to make it next year.
Yes.
Because of what has happened.
But
right?
that's a very specific
year. Well, let me ask you. Like, Florida's not pass-fail this year.
No, right? But Florida's even in this weirder set of circumstances, because Florida plays, of their 12 games, 10, I believe, are... So you have Samford. 11 of their 12 games are against power programs.
Incredible.
And if you look at it, it's like if they go 6-6, they're probably a significantly better team than they were last year, and they're probably a pretty good team.
Okay, ask you this. What is going to make – we're talking about finishing short of the playoff. When is that enough for a program? Let's be honest. Florida aspires to be every bit as good as Tennessee or Oklahoma. What right now would make – what's the least that would make – Florida fans legitimately happy about their coach and the progress of the program?
I mean, if they went 8-4, because that means if you go 8-4, that means you at least had a win over Florida State. You had
that miserable record against.
Yeah, you probably either had a win against like LSU, Ole Miss. You're going to have multiple big wins in there, and you're going to sit there and go, that's the best 8-4 team in the country. Like that's an 8-4 team that's not 8-4.
So, but it's not pass fail for Florida only because the schedule, how far down they've been, and B, how tough their schedule is.
Correct.
Right now, just betting straight up, would you say Tennessee or Oklahoma? Either one of them, would you put them in the playoff?
So if I were betting, I would bet Tennessee over Oklahoma because Oklahoma also has like a sneaky. Oklahoma doesn't have the schedule where you're like, oh my God, they got to play Georgia, Texas, and Bama. But they have the schedule where they're playing so many of these mid-card teams. And I think that's kind of where you get beaten up in the SEC. And I would bet against them making the playoff. I think I would probably bet against Tennessee, but this all goes to like your larger point. In the SEC, if you think about it, what the max amount of bids that they would get is 5, correct? That's the ideal world. Everything breaking right for them. But Alabama has playoff aspirations. Georgia has playoff aspirations. LSU, Missouri, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Texas, and I think with an outside shot, Texas A&M, who I think could be sneaky good. We're talking about 9 teams, so half of them roughly aren't going to get in.
And are they all pass-fail? Like, are they all, like, Ole Miss success is getting into the playoff, not success is not getting into the playoff?
The problem is if you don't get into the playoff, that means you probably stubbed your toe in a game that you're like, that game's going to cost us the playoff. Because the flip side for Ole Miss and Missouri, who have favorable schedules to get them into the playoff, that also means, like, even if you're Ole Miss and you lose at LSU and you lose to Georgia at home, that means then you lost probably another, you lost like Oklahoma at home, although there might not be any shame in that, but that means you probably then lost like to either South Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas, Florida, or Mississippi State. And that's going to be what stings.
We're going to get to Chris Harrington coming up next. We haven't talked about the Grizzlies, honestly. Zach Edey didn't play. There are plenty of things to talk about from that in the world of the NBA. We'll do that in just a little bit with Chris. After that, Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, a couple other things I wanted to hit, though, before any of that. We did have the Home Run Derby last night. Teoscar Hernandez wins, beating Bobby Witt Jr. in the finals, 14 home runs to 13 home runs. It was a little lacking in star power, you know?
It was lacking in star power. I will say the thing that I thought was interesting was the names that you expected to be, like, the big names.
Pete Alonso eliminated immediately.
And, like, it started off super hot.
Right.
Like, you had Bone hitting the, you know, like, 21. That looked like everybody was just going to be hitting 20 home runs. And then it kind of fell a little flat. But then when it got into, like, the knockout round, it started to get pretty good. I mean, in the end, the final came up.
Well, the semis were, Hernandez and Bone were tremendous.
Right.
That was great.
Yeah, the swing off. And then the final ends up being, I mean, the ball's,
he
what, 2 feet, yep, 2 feet short?
Yep.
And so.
That was good.
But it definitely was lacking the, you. I imagine most casuals were having to look up who is this guy.
Yeah, I think that's right. And most casuals were also looking up who is this woman, Ingrid Andres.
Yes.
Do we have this?
Oh, we do.
This is, and honestly, it's hard to know. She wasn't trying to be disrespectful.
No, I have a theory.
Okay, well, we're not going to play the entire anthem, but the anthem was a disaster last night. Here's a piece of the anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous.
Not so bad yet, really. Not the worst yet.
Or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare.
That's really lost.
The bombs burst.
Unfortunately.
Oh, say does
just got to plow through at this point. I guess we are playing the whole thing.
For the
people are now laughing, openly laughing.
Of the free. And the home of the brave.
What's your theory?
Okay, so if you saw it happening live, she keeps like messing with her ears. And what my theory is, she had the monitors in her ear, and the monitors were either delayed or whatnot. And so she's trying to sing. It's you and I have experienced this before. If you've ever spoken with a microphone and you have to hear somebody else, yeah. And then you can start to hear your own voice come back like 2 or 3 seconds later. I mean, I think some people have had this experience on the phone where you're talking to someone and then you hear yourself repeat like 3 or 4 seconds later. I think that's what happened. That flustered her, and then she did the move of she's flustered, she makes a couple of mistakes, and now she's thinking and everything's just spiraling on her. And she was kind of improvising too a little bit, and it was just a disaster. She was better off just ripping out the
I'm not particularly familiar with her work. She grew up in Colorado. Her dad was a baseball coach, actually, in Colorado. Born in Southfield, Michigan, ended up in Colorado, and went to the Berklee School of Music, dropped out of the Berklee School of Music. Then she did a bunch of these audition TV show things, whatever.
Yep.
And then she moves to Nashville. She writes songs for other people. And if you listen to her on YouTube, even ones where she's just, you know, it's just her and a piano, she's a good singer. She is not an embarrassment of a singer.
Well, the other fact is, I mean, there are Carl Lewis examples,
right?
But mostly now everything's so handled by management, and whatnot. If her management team didn't think that she could do this, they would not have let it.
Okay,
happen.
So here's the question: she's obviously having a bad day today, right? She's having a bad night. She has a song out called Wishful Drinking, and she may have done a little bit of that last night. How do you handle this, Jeffrey? Do you go on today's show and talk about, or if today's show even exists anymore, and talk about your embarrassment, and do you use it as a, or do you just put it behind you and march forward, blinders on? What's the proper way to handle this? She is still a legitimate country, you know, star, artist, whatever.
Yeah, to me, the main thing is lean into it. Like, make a self-deprecating joke. Like, if you make a self-deprecating joke, usually...
If you laugh at yourself, it makes it harder to... then other people will be laughing with you instead of at you.
Correct. And the last thing you want to do is come across as, like, a diva. Don't go on the, you know...
You can't be ripping people. My producer screwed up, just blah, blah, blah.
Make a joke about it, and then guess what? We'll usually just move on.
It was the thing. It was, sadly.
I mean, she had the unfortunate reality. Like, that's the thing about the baseball All-Star game. There's not a lot of other distractions.
That is correct. It is the thing from last night that was most talked about, in the world of sports, very clearly. And there wasn't anything else that was particularly close. All right. If you're selling your house, we got Chris Harrington next. If you're selling your house, call Josh Heisa. I really have great confidence in that. I see houses popping up now all over the place, and some are hanging on the market for a good long while. It can be a complicated time to sell your...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale starts now. Take the labor out of shopping for custom window treatments and make upgrading your home easy and affordable. Don't miss out on up to 50% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing and free shipping. No showroom markups. No pushy salespeople in your home. Blinds.com's design experts can help you make the perfect choices with free virtual consultations. Plus, they'll send samples right to your door fast and free. Blinds.com can even handle the measure and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Since 1996, customers have trusted Blinds.com to cover over 25 million windows, all backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Take the labor out of upgrading your home with Blinds.com's Labor Day Mega Sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus premium doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.